How you doing? I'm back from the Pittsburgh Comic Book Convention, which went fine. Nothing particularly interesting happened at the show, but getting home was a pain in the ass slash terrifying ordeal. It's kind of my own fault. Well, first of all, the Comic Book Convention at Pittsburgh is about 30-40 minutes away from the airport, which equals about a $120 cab ride. Or you can take the bus. Pittsburgh has like a public transportation airport flyer that's like $3. So it's a pretty easy choice. So going back, I took that, although I really should have just tried to get a ride from the promoters. Back when I started doing Arsenic Lullaby, you know, it was sort of, it's your job to get everybody to think you're the biggest thing out there and you're a big shot and blah blah blah. So somewhere in between just telling everyone I was a big deal and becoming a big deal, I lost sight of the fact that I am a big deal. So I'm still just telling people I'm a big deal and thinking that I'm not really a big deal, you know, because I'm still sort of in that groove of just being full of BS. But now I'm not, so I probably, you know, the convention promoter had people driving other guests back to the airport, and I probably could have just caught a ride with one of them, but I wasn't in that mindset, so I just dragged all my crap over to the bus. Took the bus on there. And I'm afraid of heights. If you haven't been to Pittsburgh, it's all mountains. Cliffs. It's all cliffs. So the highway is just, there's just a drop. You're on the highway, and then on your right is nothing. On your right is a 30-story plunge to your death. And the expressways themselves, even when they're not attached to the mountains, because they have to go up through the mountains, are elevated quite a bit. You know, 10, 20 stories. All cities are like that, but I'm terrified of heights, and I don't like bridges, and I don't like expressways that are high up. And in Pittsburgh, the expressways aren't just high up, they take, like, sharp turns, which I guess if you were in a car would be fine, but when you're on a city bus that's God knows how old, that's being maintained by some union guy who doesn't give a rat's ass, he's just worried about his brake. I mean, these are things you think about when you're afraid of heights. If I was just an average guy, I would have just sat on the bus and not noticed any of this. But when you're afraid of heights and you're taking these turns, you hear every little bit of metal fatigue, you're staring at the rivets wondering how old those rivets are, you're noticing that the graffiti is like from the 70s, you know, Dr. Disco is a Jive Turkey is written on there, so the bus is at least old enough to have graffiti that's written on there back during disco. That's an old bus, you know what I'm saying? Poorly maintained if it's like every other bus in every other city. And I'm looking out, the guy is taking these turns so close that I'm on the right-hand side of the bus. I'm on the passenger side of the bus, and I'm looking out the window. He's so close, I can't even see the rails or the edge of the expressway. I look out, and I just see down. So I'm, like, I'm white-knuckled, just holding on to the, you know, the seat in front of me, and I'm terrified. I'm noticing every creak and every shimmy of the bus. And it is about half full, and some fat guy gets up to, like, throw away a Snickers bar wrapper or something. Who apparently doesn't understand, you know, inertia and stuff. You can't, you're 300 pounds, you can't just get out of the back of the bus and walk to the other side of the bus while it's on a turn. I almost pie-faced the guy and told him, just sit down. You're risking our lives. But, I mean, I know I wanted to, but I realized that was crazy, and he's not really risking your lives. Maybe. I think he was. I think all logic, you take in all logic, he probably was risking your lives, because it's an old bus maintained by God knows who. The bus driver could be going through a divorce or drunk or anything. Bus drivers aren't, you know, they didn't just come out of the Top Gun program in the Navy. You know what I'm saying? This is a guy who couldn't get a job driving a taxi. So fat guy, you know, risking your life to throw away a Snickers bar for risking your life for a Snickers bar. It's like Ron Jeremy risking his life to get laid one more time. Yeah, there were many Snickers bars in your past. There'll be many more in your future. Just sit down. And the bus is full of graffiti and garbage and litter anyhow. There's probably homeless people peeing in here every night. So aside from that, the convention was fine. I watched a little bit of CNN while I was at the airport, and there's some big hoopla about whether or not the people protesting Obama are racists, because they had some sign. Look, if you're protesting a black president and you want to make like a nutty sign because you know the cameras are going to be there, putting a monkey or a witch doctor on it, probably not a good idea. Maybe they're racists, maybe they weren't. Even if they're not, you know, you people think these things through before you scribble your little wacky stuff on there. And can't you just have a sign that says, down with healthcare or something? Does everything have to be some clever bumper sticker? Whatever. But I only bring that up because I want everybody to focus on, there's worse things than racists out there. What we should focus on, and with all the name-calling from the left and the right, just ignore the name-calling, and let's just focus on whether they're right or wrong. Let's just focus on whether or not they're correct. Because let's say you're a black guy, and you're cleaning a pool, or you're cleaning your bathroom or something. Somebody comes up to you and says, hey, you better be careful not to mix that ammonia with the bleach, you dumb nigger. Because he called you a dumb nigger, does that mean you should mix the ammonia and the bleach? You should just ignore what he said? I mean, focus on what he said. If he's a racist or not, he still may be right. Right? Just focus on that. I mean, whether or not some guy holding a sign on the news is a racist, that really doesn't affect you personally at all, does it? All that affects you is whether or not this guy is correct. And by the way, you shouldn't mix ammonia and bleach. It's very dangerous. Household chemicals are dangerous. One time I had to get a clog out of the shower, because even though I'm bald, my wife at the time had an afro, so the tub was constant. And apparently she didn't care if she was showering in 2 feet of water. So it's one of those things that you're married where you just know the other person's going to deal with it. I did plenty of that too. So I grabbed I grabbed liquid plumber and Drano, you know, just to double flush it. And that was a bad idea. As soon as I poured them both down, a cloud of green death just filled up the entire bathroom. All the metal in the bathroom turned green. It knocked me right on my ass. I had to run out, open all the doors and windows. And it was the dead of winter. So I was gagging on like this homemade mustard gas, and I was freezing. Just like being in the trenches in World War I. It was just like it. Exactly like it. If there were any World War I vets around, I would have just hung out with them after that and said, hey, how about that, huh? That was something. Whew, glad that's over. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, racism. And most of the black people love to tell you and cling to, well, you don't understand racism because you're white. That's ass backwards. That's, as a bald white guy with tattoos, let me tell you black folks out there, you don't understand racism because you're black. You only have to hear about 1% of these idiots. I'm bald white with tattoos. Every one of these a-holes thinks I'm on the team. It just comes up and starts spouting off whatever idiocy is in their brain because they think I'm on team racist or something. Wherever I am, at the gym or the supermarket, hey, get a load of these. How about these spooks, huh? Excuse me? Pardon me, they'll just come up, you know, like I got a swastika on my, or I'm in a KKK uniform or something. They don't confide in you, so you don't have to deal with it. You don't have to hear all of it. And by the way, most of the people who are racist aren't really racists. You know, they say they hate black people, but really, or they'll complain about them, or complain about Mexicans or whatever. To them, they don't hold it any deeper. There's no more conviction in that than them hating sports fans of the other football team. That's all, trust me, that's all it is. If you're black and they don't like black people, but you're a Bears fan and he's a Bears fan and his brother's a Packers fan, he now likes you more than his brother. You know, it negates it. Put a Green Bay Packer hat on it, or a Bears hat on, it negates everything. I mean, that's 90% of it. It's just numbskulls. They're not really bigots, they're just numbskulls. Haven't really thought it through, and whatever racist notions in their head will float right back out just as quick as it came in. So just focus on the message. And ignore the name calling. Because when you're in an argument, and I get in arguments a lot, once that person starts losing the argument, that's when the name calling and stupidity kicks in. And you can see this on CNN every election term. Once one side starts losing, then the name calling comes out. Just pay attention to the message. And if one side's name calling, it's probably because they realize they're losing the argument. Doesn't matter. So there's worse things to be than racists. I mean, it's not good. But I mean, I'd rather have somebody call me a dago than rape me. You know what I'm saying? What else happened while I was gone? Apparently, Kanye West, I'm sure you've all heard this already and gotten 1,000 takes on it, but Kanye West, during the MTV Awards, stormed the stage and grabbed the microphone away from some little country singer some little white girl. I only saw part of it. And starts, interrupts her acceptance speech to say that Beyonce should have won this award. And he goes on and on. Keep this in mind. He stormed this stage and rambled on with all the same fervor and conviction that he did during the last election term when he was talking about politics and the war in Iraq. It's all the same to him. And all these celebrities, their job is to keep their mugs on TV and stay relevant and keep people talking about them. That's all. It's about them. Kanye West doesn't give a rip about Beyonce. I don't think he gives a rip about politics. He cares about himself. And all of them do. All these celebrities. We have no reason to believe that these celebrities actually give a damn or even know what they're talking about. They're paid to read lines. You know what I'm saying? Am I being too subtle here? These people get paid to say things that people want them to say. So why do you turn off your cynicism when they start talking about politics? I'd love somebody to check all their bank accounts out. You know, call me cynical, but their job is to get paid to say stuff, right? Ignore these idiots. And anybody who doesn't believe that this wasn't staged, you need to put your cynical hat on there too. Because I believe everybody knew this was going to happen. And maybe it wasn't like written down in the log, but this isn't the first time Kanye West has done this. So he knew he was going to do it, for one. For one, he knew he was going to do this. MTV probably knew he was going to do this, unless they're idiots. I think the only one who didn't know he was going to do it was the girl standing up there with the microphone. Maybe. Maybe she even knew this was coming. So, I mean, it was MTV, if they didn't want this on there, they could have cut that part out. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a live broadcast. They could have cut that out and redid it. Or just cut it out altogether. They wanted this to happen because nobody watches that silly award show because it's a bunch of crap. So, invite Kanye West knowing damn well at some point he's going to storm up there and make an ass out of himself. And it's good for ratings. You know, people have been talking about the MTV Awards all week. If he hadn't done that, I wouldn't even know it went on. I will say this in his defense. He was right. Beyonce should have won that. Beyonce should have won. I don't know a lot about music, but I know what I like. And Beyonce is hotter. So there you go. She's better looking. She should have won in the end. I'm at the airport. And I'm going through the magazine rack. I love airports. And I love, once I'm past security, I love airports and layovers. Because it's the only time where I don't have anything to do. I don't have any responsibilities. Whatever deadlines I have, whatever I'm supposed to be doing, I can't possibly do, because my only job now is to sit there and wait for my plane. So it's relaxing to me. And I'm flipping through the magazine racks. I see I got Sports Illustrated here. And it caught my eye because there's a cripple on the cover. Sports Illustrated. Some guy in one of those chairs where you got to breathe into the tube to make the wheelchair go. He's on the cover and it says, "The Rehabilitation of Mark Buonocatani." I don't know. Buoniconitti. Some football player who got crippled. And then the line there, 24 years after a paralyzing football injury, he still can't walk, but he's a dynamic force for improving the lives of others. It caught my eye because, you know, there's a crippled guy on the cover, and it made me laugh. I mean, it's ironic, isn't it? Sports Illustrated, and there's a guy on there who's crippled. He's not in the Special Olympics. But, and I picked it up, and I read through it, because these stories drive me insane. This guy, first of all, he wasn't shot in a war, you know. He didn't kill himself, he didn't hurt himself saving anyone's life or running into a burning building or anything. He got crippled playing a stupid football game. He's not a hero. And the fact that he's helping all these charities and stuff, that doesn't make him a hero. He's crippled, so he's trying to help charities that help spinal injuries, and he's got a spinal injury. He's not a hero, he's a beggar. He's begging for money and begging for help. If he was, you know, and fine, you know, we all got to survive and try and make do. I don't really blame the guy for going out there and trying to help charities that are going to help him, but he's not a hero. If he got a spinal injury and then went out and tried to help charities that cure cancer, then he'd be a hero. He's just trying to help himself. And there's a whole write-up in here about it, how he's getting, helping people get, how he's helping generate money and revenue and... Well, of course he is. He's crippled too. He's got the problem that this charity's trying to cure. You know what I'm saying? That's all I have to say about that. He's not a hero. Neither is Michael J. Fox or Christopher Reeves or anybody who gets some sort of ailment and then tries to help cure that ailment that they have. I mean, it's fine that they do that, but there's no reason to look up to him. I mean, what's the difference between him and a poor guy begging on the street? I'm sorry. What's the difference? There's a homeless guy who can't eat and he's begging for money, or this guy's crippled and he's begging to fix his ailment. He's not. It's not like he's doing research. It's not like he's taking the money and he's blowing in the hole and wheeling himself up to the microscope. He's not going to do anything. And my last podcast, I was going on about Nostradamus. Some people wrote in. Well, Nostradamus. He talked in code because his life was in danger, and he didn't want to say in the exact... He didn't want to be literal, because people would try to kill him, you know, the kings or whoever he was trying to usurp the authority of and warn people of would try to kill him, so that's why it was all in code. Did you miss the entire point, you knuckleheads? Who told you that? Him? And who... Either he told you that, the fraud crackpot, or people who want to believe the fraud crackpot told you that. And what does that have to do with his predictions 1,000 years in the future? What, the king's going to kill him because he predicted the Twin Towers are going to fall in 2,000 years? Give me a break. Use your heads. Nobody complained at me about Wiccan, though. Which is surprising. So either they didn't feel like bothering or realized that I was completely correct. I don't know. So, oh, you know, the one nice thing about Pittsburgh, going back to that, is I didn't meet any celebrities. It's like another rite of passage as you get to be a bigger deal. Is it stops being fun, meeting famous people or D-list celebrities and all that. Like, actually, you don't really even have to get bigger to get sick of meeting them. It's like, let's say, I've never met Leonard Nimoy, so let's use him for an example. Let's say you're at an after party or the hotel bar or something, and then you see Leonard Nimoy, go up and say hello. And at first it's like, wow, that's Leonard Nimoy, that's Spock! You know, and then you're in a bar situation, so if you can manage to weasel into the conversation, then you're hanging out with Spock. You know, hey, it's cool, I'm hanging out with Spock. You know, and I'm an interesting fellow. And it's like, hey, Spock's interested in what I'm talking about. Hey, I'm making Spock laugh. This is great. But then, with 99% of them, it becomes, it goes from, hey, I'm hanging out with Spock, cool. Hey, I'm talking to Spock, cool. Hey, I'm making Spock laugh. Then it's like, hey, you know, Spock ain't really adding much to this conversation. And then it goes to, you know, Spock's a pain in the ass. Spock's pouring the crap. I'm getting the crap poured out of me by Spock. Hey, I'm hanging out with Spock, and he won't shut up. You know, then it just becomes another conversation where you're talking to somebody who doesn't pause long enough for you to insert a, well, hey, I got to get going. You know, there's people like that. It's they just somehow have the instinct that as soon as you ramp up to exit yourself from it, they create this rhythm, this cadence in their speech where there's no way for you to insert, hey, that's great, well, I got to get going. You're just stuck there and like looking around for somebody to bail you out. So there's none of that this time, which is nice. Ugh. The stories I could tell, yeah, about these blowhards. I should make a list to warn everyone. Virgil. Oh, God, that guy was the worst. Ex-wrestlers, in general. Better off staying away from them. Virgil, he was an ex-retired WWE wrestler. He came by my booth at a convention that was slow, and I could not get him to leave. He was there for an hour. Just literally just talking about how famous he is for an hour. And after 10 minutes, I displayed no interest in what he was saying at all. Didn't faze him. And some girl came up who was an independent wrestler or a wrestler in one of these smaller, there's smaller federations that just like cover a couple states or something like that, you know. Like the farm system, basically. And he told her that independent wrestling sucked a dick. I don't remember if that's the verbiage he used, but I mean, he was just on a roll, man, about how great he was and everything else is awful. And she was, like, trying to be a fan and, you know, like, relate to the guy, like, oh, I'm into it too, and blah, blah, blah. Boy, you suck. I'm great and you suck. I have to ask my buddy Herndon what exactly he said, because he was right there too. And I kind of remember him making the motion too, the sucking of the dick motion to her. She started to tear off a little bit. It was pretty bad. And that was only halfway through. I couldn't get him to leave. I saw him recently too. I was stuck next to him on one of these airport flyer, I think in Pennsylvania, sitting right next to him. And, you know, he was, like, looking around, sort of at me, like, you can tell when famous people want to be recognized, you know? So, like, when a woman gets a new haircut and she's not getting any comments on it, so she's playing with it a little bit to get you to notice the haircut. That's how he was. He had a wrestling shirt on that he sort of puffing his chest out a little bit in hopes that I'd recognize him. He obviously didn't remember me. I just took my hat off and my jacket so I'd look more like a skinhead and racist. Because he's a big black guy. So sometimes it pays to look like a racist, you know? Well, that's all for today. Want to let you guys know that the convention in St. Paul, Minneapolis is coming up. That's www.com. mncba.com, and it's a good one, real good one. I'd say it's the best one this side of San Diego. So if you get a chance to make it up there, please do so. Say hi to me. And also, we don't have any bumper music, so I'm not really sure if it's legal. You know, what we can use, it's legal. I don't want to pay for anything, and I don't want to get in trouble, even though it's just a stupid stupid podcast. So if you're a band, and I got a lot of readers around bands and stuff, you want to send me something that we can use as bumper music, go ahead and do that. douglas@gmail.com. You know, maybe we'll use it down the line in the cartoon too. Who knows? But that's all for now. See you next time. And until then, think.